We're doing the book of Tzfaniyah. We're up to what's called the second chapter, the third Pasuk. And although these divides of chapters is a Christian invention in most of Tanakh, we'll start again from the beginning of the second chapter, because really over here there is a switch, that the first chapter focused on the destruction, the warnings of the prophet towards the end of the period of the first temple, that the people should beware that God has had it with their immoral ways. And now the Navi continues with the second chapter, and the Navi says, we'll start again from the beginning of the second chapter, Hitkoshishu vakoshu hagoy lo nichsaf. The prophet says, I want you to seek yourselves out. Check out what you've done wrong. You nation that you have no desire for God. Hagoy lo nichsav, the nation that doesn't have desire. You don't have your own desire, so arouse it. Now, there are two ways to have desire. One is that it comes without our desiring desire. Excuse the play on words. One's that it has a mind of its own. Another is that we arouse it. So God says, you nation that doesn't seem to have any of your own desire, well, so then arouse it. Hitkoshishu vakoshu. Gather and seek out from within yourselves what you should fix. Beterem leedetchok kimotz avar yom. God says, before the decree is written, beterem, before leedetchok, that the statute is going to be born, kimotz avar yom, and it's going to be just as the chaff gets blown away as the day proceeds, as the winds of the day blow, that's what's imminent, God says. And before that decree is signed, that the Jews will be scattered among the nations and treated lightly like the chaff, God is saying, repent beforehand. Beterem lo yavo aleichem. The Navi says, before there comes upon you the anger of Hashem, before there comes upon you the day of Hashem's anger, Bakashu et Adonai kolan ve'aretz asher mishpato pa'alu. Hashem says, seek out Hashem, you who are humble among the land, who have done justice, and the rest of you learn from them. Bakeshu tzedek, bakeshu anavah, ulai tisateru biyom af Adonai. God says, if the people will only seek out righteousness, and if they'll only seek out humility, so then when Hashem's anger comes, they will escape. So Hashem says, you want to know what the key is to make it out of the troubles of destruction? Being righteous and being humble. That's the way to avoid destruction. Bakashu tzedek, bakashu anava, ulai tisateru. Maybe you'll be able to hide. Maybe you'll be able to make it out in spite of the destruction. That's one of the questions that people often ask after the Holocaust. Why me? Why did I make it alive? Why was I different than anyone else? I don't know the answer. But the Navi says, you want the formula, seek out humility. Then Tivot Shalom quotes that during the period of the great earthquake in Tzfat, so I don't remember which Rebbe it was that was present, when the earth started trembling and a lot of people were killed, many buildings there collapsed, the Rebbe right away said, everyone hit the floor. So everyone went and hit the floor, and whoever hit the floor made it out alive. So afterwards, they asked him, how'd you know that if we all hit the floor, we'll be okay? So he started describing what he saw spiritually, and he said that the way to stand up, the way to avoid that type of destruction is complete humility, hit the floor all the way to the floor. So I don't know, maybe that's his pasuk too, that sometimes the key to getting out is righteousness, is humility. Ki azah azuvah tihyeh v'ashkelon lishmamah. because if you do this, then you won't be wiped out, and you'll come back, and then you're going to find Aza, that it was left, everyone will have left Aza, and Ashkelon will also be desolate. He's quoting the Philistine cities of the time. Ashdod batzahorayim higarishuha ve'ekron te'akir. You'll find Ashdod, that in the middle of the daylight, they will be chased out of their city, and no one will be able to hide himself. The enemy will chase everyone out of the land, and Ekron will be uprooted. Nothing will remain from Ekron. There's a long Gemara in Megillah. What does it mean? Ekron te'akir. That Ekron too will be uprooted. Ho, Yoshev ve'chevel hayam goy keretim. Woe to those who sit on the fortified cities, the port cities, and these are the nations, goy keretim. These are nations that were cut off from the Philistines. Here there are multiple interpretations. What does it mean? Goy keretim. Are they a break off? Are they a nation that will be cut off? The question is also, what does the word plishtim mean? We're accustomed to the name plishtim already in the time of Avraham Avinu, and then later on throughout the shoftim, Yeshua, shoftim, Shmuel, you have the plishtim. Who were the plishtim? So, what? Oh, were they around a long time? Or was it a name that was given to conquering nations? Meaning the word plishti might have the root of polish. Polish means one who invades. And it could be that it was just a name that was given to the people who used to invade Israel. So at one point the plishtim could have been one nation. And then later on it could have been a totally different nation that just invaded. It seems that throughout the period of the prophets they had set cities in Israel. Ashkelon, Ashdod, Ekron, Aza, and Gat, I think are the five cities of the Plishtim.
Time of Yitzhak, they also lived in Grar, too.
Grar, right, yeah. So, over here, you see that they're Yoshevei Chevel Hayam. They live on the port city, which works that... The Plishtim always lived at the port city on the western side of Israel, and then they had good fortification around there. So there are different explanations here. One understanding is Goy Keretim, that they're the nation that God's just waiting to cut off, that the nation that's on the verge of being cut off. Dvar Adonai Aleichem. The word of Hashem is upon you. We'll see in a second what word of Hashem was, the prophecy. Kinan Eretz Pilishtim. The land of Pilishtim will also be considered part of Kinan. Vehavatich me'ein Yoshev. And I will destroy you so that you won't find anyone inhabiting the city, Hashem says. And this strip of land by the sea will become Nevot, Kirot Ro'im, Kirot Ro'im. That's going to become Nevot, is from the word Nave, right? What does Nave mean? A home. Ze Keli, this is my God. Ve Anveyu, I will make him a Nave, I will make him a home. So the Nevot, the strip of land that's by the sea, is going to become a home for Kirot Ro'im, that the shepherds will sit there, V'gidrot Son, and they'll set up their flocks of sheep to to graze over there. Kirot means to dig, like Ki Yichre Ishbo. When a person will dig a pit, it says in the Torah, that's called Yichre. Yichre in biblical Hebrew is to dig. So the shepherds would dig themselves a place to live over there as they watch the sheep grazing, because it'll be desolate, so there'll be wild grass growing. והיה חבל לשארית בית יהודה עליהם ירעון. And that strip of land will be for the remnants of Judah, that the, over there they're going to be able to find a place to graze their cattle. And the Navi here is filling the filling the blanks of what he said earlier. He said earlier, if you only repent, if you only become humble and just people, then you will not be wiped out. And then what you'll see is that your enemies that live just around you here in Israel will be wiped out, and you'll be able to enjoy, you'll reap the benefits. If you guys repent, so then only they will be kicked out of the land of Israel, and then you'll be able to, the remnants of the house of Yehuda will be able to go and graze their cattle over there. Devatei Ashkelon ba'erev yirbatzun, in the houses of Ashkelon, which is another Philistine city. So then ba'erev yirbatzun, in the evenings they'll be able to lay down quietly. Rovitz could mean to suffer under a load, and rovitz could also mean just to sprawl out, to lie down to rest. So he says you'll be able to take the houses of Ashkelon for free, and at night you'll be able to sprawl out there and go to sleep. Ki yifkedem Adonai Eloheim v'shav shivitam, because Hashem will remember them for good, and then Hashem will also return, will bring back those that have been exiled to join them in Judean territory. So here again, the question is, what period is he talking about? Is this all based on the condition? If you do what's right, so then you won't have a problem. And then people will be able to come back. That seems to be the understanding here. So then it seems like it never came true. Shamati chirpat Moab v'gidufei b'nei Amon. The Navi says, Hashem, so to speak, says, I've heard how the Moabites blaspheme you, how the Ammonites curse you. Asher chirifu etami v'yagdilu al gebulam. The way they cursed out my nation, and the nation of Israel was exiled, and their exile was to the east in the direction of Ammonite Moabite territory. And as they passed by, the Ammonites and Moabites would be cursing them. Vayagdilu al gebulam. And so they expanded their own border, the Ammonites and Moabites, into the border of Israel. So they were just waiting for our destruction to expand into Israel. Lachein chayani ne'um Adonai tzevaot Elohei Yisrael ki Moav kisdom tihye ubnei Amon ka'amora Mimshak Charul Umichai Melech Ushmamah Ad Olam. Therefore, what does the word Lachen mean? So the word Lachen in Tanakh could sometimes mean a vow, but here it would be a double vow. Ani Chai Ani Num Hashem, as long as I'm living, says Hashem, which is also a term of a vow of Hashem. Chayecha Chayei Roshecha, as I swear by your life and the life of your head. Chai Ani is as though Hashem swearing by His own life. So over here you'll notice the Targum translates it as Bichin, that therefore Hashem says, Chai Ani, I swear, Num Hashem Tzvakot, says Hashem, who's the master of all armies, Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Ki Moav Kisdom Tiye, the Moabite territory will be overturned like the Sdom, and the Bnei Amon will be like Amora, Mimshak Charul. You're going to frequently hear the sounds of the cats over there. Charul is not really a cat. It's Charul, I'm sorry, is a thorn bush. Mimshak, you also have Kimshok Gevim. Mimshak means the noise of Charul, of thorn bushes swaying in the wind. Meaning no one's going to really be doing anything with this territory. It's going to be desolate. And all you'll see is thorn bushes growing there. Umichrei melach. And again, michre, we saw that word 2 psukim ago. The digging, right? Of salt. Meaning people are just going to use the place as a place to dig out salt. Ushmama Adolam, and it's going to be desolate, whatever Adolam means, literally forever. Sherit ami yevazum v'yeter goyi ginchalum. The remnants of my nation, whatever remains, will plunder their territory when they return from the Babylonian exile. So this is already not dependent on the condition. Meaning up until this pasuk, the Navi was saying, if you guys only repent, you'll enjoy the benefits of the Philistine territories being cleared out. But even if you don't repent, Hashem says, ultimately after the exile to Babylon, the remnants who return will enjoy the loot that's left in Ammonite and Moabite territory. The Yetov Goyim, the remnants of my nation, Yin Chalum, will take that as their inheritance. And the issue here is, they could have walked in and enjoyed our territory when we were gone. That wasn't the issue. The issue was, why'd they have to stand by and curse us as we were being exiled? And we see this as a recurring theme in Tanakh. Hashem holds people to fine points. The fact that they took our territory when we were gone, okay, fine, we're gone. Just like we took their territory when they're gone, they take our territory when we're gone. Okay, that wasn't the claim against them. And that's what the Navi stresses again in Pasuk Yud. He says, Zot lahem tachat gehonam. This is going to happen to them because of their pride. Ki cherefuhu vayakdilu al am Adonai Tzevaot. Because they cursed out and they looked down. They spoke such terrible words. Vayakdilu means
expanded.
Or against the nation of Hashem, who's in charge of all armies. That's why they'll be destroyed. So this is a major point we see over and over again. Hashem holds us to the attitude, not just to the actions. Yeah.
Is it saying that through repentance will be victorious in war, or through other means? Like, will the Plishim be pushed out only through war, or other ways of being pushed out?
Well, as far as I understand, what he's saying is, there will be an attack coming from the north. Will we be exiled or not? Well, that depends on us. Will we do tshuva or not? If we do tshuva, then we'll benefit from the attack, because all the other nations who are inhabiting Israel, they'll be exiled, and then we're just going to have their territory for free. If we don't repent, which is what happened, then we'll also be part of that exile. And that's what happened. But now the Navi continued in Pasuk Tet and said, but nonetheless, the Jews are coming back. After 70 years in Babylon, they are coming back, and then they'll benefit from the fact that the Ammonites and Moabites will be destroyed. And the reason I'm destroying them, Hashem says, is because of the way they spoke.
It seems like the fact that the Navi uses the word sherit twice already without a conditional. He seems to use it unconditionally. It seems to suggest that it will be the situation where there will be a remnant. In other words, it will be exiled. It doesn't say, it doesn't use that lashon conditionally at all. In fact, the only conditional that I see here is ulai tisatru b'yom Hashem.
Right.
Maybe, even if you repent, only there's no guarantee that Hashem will hide his anger from you.
Right. So that, I think the simple understanding in that is that there are levels in tshuva, and once a punishment has been warranted by the people to be singled out to be saved, maybe you'll be on that level, that you'll be able to, that you'll be one of those that will be saved. And then the question is, how many people will be saved? Will there be a representation of a nation or a few individuals? Like we find the prophet Jeremiah, we find individuals who were spared, that the Babylonian king said, don't touch them. Let them stay wherever they want. They don't have to leave. You see, Gedaliah ben Achikam was left. You see, some people were left. Some people were spared. Gedaliah ben Achikam was a big tzaddik. Was that enough to be a nation? I don't know. When he says that the remnants of the house of Judea will graze over there, so I think that's the commentaries here say that's a reference to if they repent, then they'll be able to graze there. Whereas from Pasuk Tet onward, he's turning to what will be even if they are destroyed. But you're right, either way there's a remnant, because a lot of people were killed, a lot of people were lost. Sheirit Yehuda could mean the remnants after the exile, and Sheirit could be the remnants when there won't be an exile.
In other words, when the Babylonians tried to take us.
Right. Right. Remember also that the Babylonians attacked us more than once, and were victorious more than once. They repeatedly tried to make peace and leave us here, and we didn't listen. We kept rebelling against them until they finally saw they had no choice and kicked us out. Not a nice thing to say, but that's the Navi says it.
And this was written by the time when the Babylonians had already started this, so it wasn't...
Well, not exactly, because this was in the days of Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. So, it wasn't yet happening.
A couple of hundred years before.
Not that much about what we could take down a timeline.
The scale was like 700 something with the Sphera.
We're talking about the Babylonian exile. Huh?
Is it
an
art school?
Yeah,
diagrams.
Okay, I have diagrams in the office too. I don't remember how many years exactly it was before the destruction, but
so it was some time before the Babylonians actually came and started the...
Yeah. I think it was under 100 years.
But the Assyrians had already been...
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Let's just read one more pasuk, and that concludes the prophecy about them, about Ammon and Moab. And then the Navi continues and speaks to other nations that were harmful to us. You guys realize we're not so far from the end of Tzfanya. Next week, Bezat Hashem, we finish Tzfanya and go on to Haggai, which was also very short. So the Navi says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Nora Adonai Yadayim Ki Raza Eit Kolelohei Haaretz. Nora Hashem. Hashem, who is awesome, Aleihem, will rule over them. Hashem will rule over them, meaning Hashem will take revenge from them. Ki Raza Et Kolelohei Haaretz. Because Hashem is going to put on a diet. Raza over here is a verb, really. Hashem is going to make thin. Hashem is going to thin out and weaken all the idols of the or all the gods of the land. And here our tradition is that this isn't talking about the idols, but the simple understanding the Targum says is talking about the idols. Hashem will show that none of them are worth much, because nation after nation is going to fall, and they'll all see that their idols aren't worth much. They don't stand by them in their time of need. Now, we have a tradition that every nation has a representation in heaven. Every nation has an angel. That's what Daniel also says, that he saw the Persian angel going out to fight war with the Babylonian angel. And we see that each nation's representative in heaven has an impact on that nation down below. So Hashem says, I will weaken the angels up above, so that the nations down below will no longer benefit as much. Each nation has their angel that's supposed to ensure that things go well for them financially. Hashem says, I'm going to weaken those angels up above, and then things will start being bad. The economy is going to go down. They will lack prosperity. Ki raza, they will be weakened, they will be thinned out. Et kol elokei haaretz, all the gods of the land, which Chazal understood means the angels of the lands, of the different nations. V'yishtachabu lo ish mimekomo kol iyei hagoyim. And a time will still come when all the nations will realize that Hashem is the only one running the planet. V'yishtachabu lo, and ultimately they will all bow to him. Ish mimekomo, every person from his different place. Kol iyei hagoyim, all the different places where all the different nations live, they will all come to that recognition when they see that their gods didn't amount to much, and Hashem did. Hashem did stand by His people.